Exclusive, Rand Paul makes the case against socialism. History is replete with examples of socialism gone awry. By Matthew Boyle on October 15, 2019. Senator Rand Paul, RKY, is out with a new book, The Case Against Socialism, and explained his case and vision in a lengthy exclusive interview on SiriusXM's Breitbart News Sunday this weekend. In the interview, Paul said that from Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime in Germany to Joseph Stalin's Soviet Union to Mao Zedong's China to Fidel Castro's Cuba to Pol Pot's Cambodia to Hugo Chavez and Nicolás Maduro's Venezuela, socialism has worse than failed in every single country it has been attempted. And while he says that modern American socialists like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, DNY, and Senator Bernie Sanders, IVT, claim they don't want the kind of socialism that results in authoritarianism, genocide, and famine, there is no case where socialism has ever worked and it always ends up there. I think that's one of the questions that comes up very quickly, is some people are incredulous you even have to make the case because history is replete with examples of socialism gone awry, socialism devolving into authoritarianism, genocide, and famine. Paul said in a half-hour special that aired Sunday evening on Breitbart News Sunday on SiriusXM 125 The Patriot Channel. The 20th century really is the history of the failure of socialism. From Hitler's Nazi or nationalist socialism to Stalin's Bolshevik socialism to Mao's socialism to Pol Pot. Really, time and time again, millions of people have died at the hands of despotic rulers, Paul said. Some would say today socialists like Hawk and Bernie don't want that kind of socialism. But actually there was a time when Bernie was very sympathetic to Castro as well as Chavez. This seems to be the pattern for today's socialists, is that they're very, very open to socialism until they find out that it's replaced by authoritarianism and until they find out it's been replaced by poverty. Paul points to Venezuela as a key recent historical example of socialism gone awry. Socialism, Paul argues, has taken over the Democrat Party, fueled by an angry presidential primary battle that has resulted in a bidding war of sorts between that party's leaders attempting to outdo each other. I think it's become a kind of a bidding war among the presidential candidates on the Democrat side, Paul said. One person will offer free college, and the other person will say, no, free college and free benefits for paid leave. And then another one will say, what about Medicare for all? So it just goes on and on and on, in sort of a bidding war on the left for who can offer more free stuff. But there needs to be an examination of who really pays for so-called free stuff. This is one of the big lies we point out in the case against socialism. Is that Bernie and Ock say, oh, the top 1% will pay for all this. But when you add it up, there's just not enough money. What they have proposed on the top 1% would maybe bring in $50 billion. But their spending desires are closer to $60, $70, or even $80 trillion. So there's definitely a mismatch and a math problem for these people. In addition to the mathematical and historical issues with socialism, Paul argues, current socialists using Scandinavian countries like Denmark and Sweden to argue socialism works are false analogies. Paul is troubled by a rising interest in socialism among America's youth, as evidenced by some increased support for the radical and failed ideology in recent polling, and is concerned that American young people are not learning this history in school. While he thinks some of it is just a natural tradition of Americans being more leftist when they are young and becoming more conservative as they get older, he is concerned that some of what is happening is due to a lack of education on the historical failures of socialism and misconception about what socialism really entails, government control of the means of production. I think there's always been a trend for young people to be more liberal or more open to socialism. You know, the old saying was, if you don't believe in liberal policies before age 30, you don't have a heart. But if you don't believe in conservative policies after age 30, you don't have a brain, Paul said. There is some truth to it. When you're younger, you live on your parents' dole. In many ways, you are a dependent who has not necessarily seen the working world or seen what it's like and seen that paying taxes is necessary. So I do think people become more conservative over time. It's also true that the polls that show younger people and millennials leaning toward socialism, when they ask these young people what is socialism, only 16 or 17% of them can actually answer what socialism is, and socialism is traditionally defined as the state owning the means of production and you don't have private property, there is collective ownership of things. For most young people, if they're just reading one sentence on Twitter, I guess they're not reading much history. Some of it is a misconception, but some of it also is a function of our schools in that I think there's a sort of unified groupthink in schools that teaches kids that things are sort of unfair out there and that it's a rotten world and the government is going to make things more equal and more fair. So I think some of them want to see government enforced equality. But we make the case in the case against socialism that if you want equality of outcomes you would have to have equality police. Paul further explains the left's hypocrisy when it comes to a fairness police that he says would be necessary under a socialist system to ensure equal outcome by noting that it cuts against core American beliefs of equal protection under the law. Part of why Paul said there is a rush to socialism in America's youth is a legitimate concern with political corruption in America, something grassroots movements on both the left and the right have felt for many years. There is, he said, a political, cultural, and financial elite that seems to ordinary Americans to be above the rest of society when it comes to the law, and because of that corruption people challenge the system, on both sides of the political aisle. He is concerned, however, that the left's pandering with socialism would only make the system worse because it would empower more cronyism and more corruption if ever implemented. Whereas conservatives' vision of less government cuts into the ability of bad actors to act badly. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Both left and right, the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street movement, they're all sort of unhappy about, myself included, about crony capitalism, about people who manipulate government and manipulate the law to have an unfair advantage, Paul said. It's not just that they're selling something that people want and have become successful like Sam Walton. It's things like some of the big pharmaceutical companies and things that come to Washington and manipulate government to enrich themselves and then abuse the rules to enrich themselves more and more. So yes, I think both sides, both right and left, see this. I remember when the bankers were bailed out in 2009. These very wealthy bankers and very wealthy banks that had made rotten decisions. In the end, the poor homeowner was kicked out of his house or her house, but the banks were bailed out. So the Occupy Wall Street movement was offended by that, and so was the Tea Party. The real difference is the answer. It's one thing to be angry about crony capitalism. For those on the left, it's because crony capitalism is a failure they think we should try socialism. For those of us on the right, or the Tea Party movement, we look at crony capitalism and say that's too much government, that's people abusing government. Paul added that the right's vision is more effective in solving the problems of corruption because it takes the power away from that handful of people who would wield it dishonorably. And that is exactly the problem with socialism, he said, as evidenced by all its historical failures. Bad actors rise up and inevitably wield said power unfairly in what ends up benefiting the few at the top and screwing over the many throughout society. Paul added that he's looked at experts and historical analysis to question whether socialism inevitably ends up in authoritarian regimes intent on genocide and famine, or if that just keeps happening accidentally. He argues that the experts like Austrian economist Friedrich Hayek have examined this very question and found that under socialism, ruthlessness prevails and leadership and violence becomes necessary for implementation. People keep getting back to this idea of whether it's an inevitability to have this kind of authoritarianism and violence or whether it's an accident, Paul said. Hayek and others looked at this, and they said it shouldn't be looked at as a one-off or accidental in history that socialism devolves into violence, because if you ultimately want to collectivize the farms as Mao did or Stalin did, if you want to take property from people, there is a point at which they will resist. Really, the leader that exhibits that most ruthless character is the one who's able to take the land, because it ultimately does require, as Lenin and others said, you've got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. The thing is ultimately this is what happens. You end up choosing a few leaders, they get selected by the rest of the socialists because they are the most ruthless and willing to actually use the violence necessary to take the property. But really, our kids need to learn this history and read about it. Pol Pot was not that long ago in Cambodia with the killing fields and just hundreds and hundreds if not thousands of bodies piled in mass graves. In a very short period of time they expelled virtually everybody from the cities and ultimately millions of people were killed. This is the kind of thing that people say, oh, that's not what I want. But, Paul argues, if Americans vote for socialist leadership, what ultimately happens next is evident throughout history. Before Paul's interview with Breitbart News, he had appeared on The View opposite, among others, Anna Navarro, the frequent critic of President Donald Trump. who shut Paul down when he was explaining what socialism was and why it was bad and why it failed in Venezuela. Paul, when asked about Navarro's silencing of him, told Breitbart News that exposing socialism does not fit Navarro's narrative of hateful opposition to President Trump, something shared by the other hosts of The View, so she would rather just not discuss these inconvenient truths at all. It doesn't really fit their narrative, Paul said. People like Ana Navarro hate President Trump and they blame everything and they blame the poor dialogue and crassness in Washington and crass dialogue between right and left. They blame it all on the president, and yet really people like Ana Navarro and others on The View who shout and scream over everybody. Really they're adding to that poor dialogue. They're setting a poor example for everyone with the sort of yelling and screaming. But the particular point we were trying to explain to her was the leaders in Venezuela are socialist. The leaders of their party identify as the Socialist Party. She was like, no, they're thugs, they're thugs. They're not socialists. And I tried to calmly make the point to her that, well, they are socialists and they are thugs, and that's precisely our point. When the government is controlled centrally by a few people, by one political party, the socialists, and you get central planning where you don't have the freedom to decide what and how much to produce and consumers don't get to choose. When a few people control things, you have much more of a susceptibility to kleptocracy, to thieves, to stealing and lying and enriching yourselves. Paul added that leftist anti-Trump personalities like Navarro demean themselves by opposing allowing intelligent debate on these issues. While much of the interview focused on the issues of socialism and Sanders in particular, Paul added that the new Democrat frontrunner Senator Elizabeth Warren, DMA, is really no different than Sanders when it comes to socialist ideology. Just that she's better at hiding it from the public than Sanders, which is why she's ascendant in the polls. I think there's really not a dime's worth of difference between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Paul said. They stand for the same policies and ultimately hers is a socialist platform also. You're right, though. She's like most liberals of the last several decades where they were always smart to try to hide their socialism from the public. And I think in the end, most of the major policies that have come out, Elizabeth Warren has rushed to support. So I don't know that you can claim, maintain, or support that there's much of a difference in policies between Bernie Sanders' socialism and Elizabeth Warren. What's particularly troubling, though, Paul said, is the evidence that socialism has won the day inside the Democrat Party as a whole. Ocasio-Cortez is now calling the shots and really running the House of Representatives now. Not Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as evidenced by the Democrats lunging towards impeachment of President Trump. How the media and political class have gone after President Trump versus the kid glove treatment of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden is exactly the kind of unfair double standard that Paul argues leads people to question the fairness of the political and economic system in America. Paul added that this double standard is exactly why Americans on both sides of the aisle are disturbed by America's political, financial, and cultural elites. He also explained that the ultimate irony of all this kleptocracy by the Bidens is that it has cleared the way for the rise of Warren, a socialist herself, and the question is whether she will be able to sufficiently hide her socialism. People get disturbed by it on both sides, Paul said. Really, they get disturbed by what's going on. But I think really that ultimately it's going to be very, very hard and the irony is that while they thought this was going to bring Trump down, the irony is this is bringing Biden down. His numbers were already falling because he doesn't seem to be on the ball as much as he used to. He doesn't seem to have maybe what it takes to intellectually get through the questions of the day during the debates. And so I think that was already bringing him down but the association with the scandal and his son and all the money that went to his son, I think that's what's bringing him down. I agree with you that Elizabeth Warren is surging to the top. And the question will be, will she run away from all the stuff she supports with Bernie? Ultimately, or will the tag of socialism and the stain of socialism stick to her as well? We plan on being out there and talking about socialism over the next year and making the actual positions of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are well known and that the disaster of socialism is something our kids will hopefully know enough about to resist it. Listen to Rand Paul on Breitbart News Sunday.